Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which one do you want to hear first?
Give me the bad news first.
Bad news, if you have belly fat, you're probably going to die younger.
Perfect.
You ready for the good news now?
I was hoping. I mean, don't tease me.
If you got thick thighs,
right,
and I got some thick thighs, right? Not only will you probably live longer,
okay,
but your blood pressure will be lowered.
Why is that? I mean, this is the first that I've heard that a big bottom is the way to go.
One word, science. They did research and they found that if you gained a few extra pounds, well, that's kind of okay, but it depends on where your body naturally gains it. If you're one of those people that have the big bottom and the big thighs, it's actually healthier for you.
How can you tell your body where to gain it?
That's genetics. There's not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
But if you were gifted with big curvy thighs and hips, congratulations. So here's what I did. I brought in a tape measure,
okay,
and I brought in something to test our blood pressure, as you can see.
What is that?
It's my grandmother's. We have to take our blood pressure every
it
day.
It looks like...
It's a cuff that goes on your hand.
So, now, two things going on here. First, it looks kind of like an old pager, or one of those things that they talk into on Star Trek. Secondly, your poor grandmother. Now, she has no protection today. Nobody knows how her blood pressure is.
I have to bring it back right after after the show. All right. So, my thigh is 22 inches, okay?
I told you if you were going to measure a circle to bring string.
Well, I didn't have string. I
You're
brought
just a tape breaking measure. Paul's tape measure.
Yeah. My thigh is 22 inches. We're going to measure your thigh
let
in
me
a
see.
Second. All right. Let me do
I'm
my gonna blood pressure.
I'm going to measure my own thigh. Thank you.
I'm not going to measure your thigh here. Take this. Let me check my blood pressure, okay?
All right.
Start.
Oh, this poor tape measure.
Hold on.
Destroyed.
I'm checking my blood pressure.
I mean, it takes a long time, huh?
This is how it takes your blood pressure. I have to be relaxed. I'm so relaxed. 144 over 78. Is that normal?
I don't know.
Hold on. Let's Google it.
I'm not a doctor. Let me see it. While you Google it, since it takes a half hour, let me do mine.
How big is your thigh?
23.
How is your thigh only 1 inch bigger than my thigh?
Because I'm a svelte, sexy guy.
Well, you're probably going to die young.
I actually
you need to
think
have
that I
thighs.
Might have rounded up, too. It might be like 23 and three quarter.
What? Well, here's the good news. My thighs are bigger, so I'll live longer. It says I have hypertension stage 1.
Oh, my God.
What? It's the lowest form of high blood pressure? What? What?
Didn't expect to find that out, did you?
No. What's yours? Hold on. See what yours
hold
is.
Hold on. Oh, it's tough. It's trying to unravel.
Should I be concerned that I have hypertension stage 1?
Oh, I would definitely talk to a doctor.
I feel like it's the lowest, so it's kind of okay.
Shh, I'm concentrating.
All right. What is yours?
145 over 87.
Hold on.
145,
it is 145
over 87.
Over 87. Good blood pressure reading.
You look so serious reading it. Just spit it out.
You also have stage 1 hypertension.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
What's going to happen when this show goes off the rails before 10?
But I have bigger thighs. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, congratulations on your victory.
I kind of. Who has the oldest adult child that's still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. Stand on Raven. So, trending in the news, Raven, is that millennials are trying to get rid of this negative connotation that living at home with your parents as an adult is a bad thing. And I get it. You know, the times have been tough lately.
Sure.
And about 52% of young adults, so that's classified as adults under the age of 30, still live with their parents right now.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they had to move home because of COVID.
High number in this country, that's for sure. I mean, it's been going on everywhere else for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Generational in different countries, but here, very different.
See, for me, as it like I you know, I'm a child of immigrants, Italian immigrants.
Sure.
So I couldn't actually be a grown up and adult until I left the house because right. it would have been their rules forever.
Until then, right?
Right. See, my brother like had his now wife move in with us. Which you can you even imagine like that there was a time where my brother was able to have a girl come live with us, but I couldn't introduce my now husband until I was certain that I was going to marry him.
Yeah. Sometimes there's different rules for the boys and girls in certain families. Right.
How old were you when you moved out of your house?
18.
And that was it?
Yeah. No, I was young. I mean, I came back twice, you know, different times. I came back at, let's see here, I guess I was 22 or 21 or 22, I think I came back for a little while. And then I came back again when I was like 28 for a minute.
But and then you went back out.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have an adult child still living at home?
I do. My son's still living at home, and he's 42.
42 years old?
He's at Raven's age. He's a grown man.
So wait. I mean, I need clarification. Did he move out and then move back in? Are you invalid? Like, I need some things. I need some information.
No, he actually, he's never moved out. Always been with us. He moved downstairs to the basement area.
Of course.
Made it his own. He's had a couple girlfriends move in and out, but he's never left. I think he wants that security of a home-cooked meal and not having to really have his own place.
You must do fantastic laundry.
What do you do when the girlfriend's over? Is there a sock on the door? What happens? Do you never, ever, ever enter the basement no matter what anyways?
I only go downstairs when I have to do the laundry, and that's right in the morning, and then I wait until I hear the TV on and the video games going or
42
something.
Video games going in the basement. Are you doing his laundry?
He's living the life.
I do his laundry.
Oh!
On occasion, I ask him to fold it, but
on occasion, ask him to fold it.
I want to come live with you too.
Thank you for the call. You. Have a great morning. I imagine her making sandwiches every time my friends come over for a Call of Duty like long haul. Right? We're gonna play. We're gonna play Fortnite the next 5 days.
Mom, make some sandwiches.
That's right. The
Jimmy,
meatloaf.
Coming over.
The meatloaf. Now, Mom.
Hannah and Raven, how old is your adult child still living at home?
He's 16 years old.
I mean, 16 legally, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to allow him to still be there.
Oh, yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't make him homeless yet at this point. But
we'll give him a couple more years.
But I love your enthusiasm. Thank you for calling.
She's like, get him out. It's enough time.
Right. I can't wait to turn his room into a gym.
A lot of his friends go to boarding school. We wouldn't let him, so.
Oh, I see. Now. Right.
I guess I'm out.
Right. He was willing to go to the military to escape the house, but you were like, nope, you're not ready yet.
I'm not ready. Not till college.
Right.
This is the opposite of the call that we just had, but thank you for sharing.
She said, so I'm out. So I didn't win all this kid still living at home.
It's really eye-opening what's going on here.
1-800-330-9999. Can you beat that? Can you beat, 42?
42 is the record right now.
Yeah, oldest adult child still living at home. 1-800-330-9999. 52% of young adults, that's adults under the age of 30 years old, still live with their parents or because of COVID have had to move back in with their parents, and they're trying to get rid of this negative connotation that living with your parents is a bad thing when you're an adult.
I mean, so it's an actual movement to say, listen, we're actually grown-ups.
Yes.
But it just doesn't come off grown up.
It's Anna and Raven. For me, I couldn't wait to get out of the house because I had such strict Italian parents. I could finally grow up and be an adult.
It is funny to see how trends change, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, same thing for me. I was ready to go as soon as I could. Of course, when you're out of there and then you miss some of the niceties of being at home, you might feel a little bit differently. Same thing. You know, a lot of people, they don't go out and run right out and get their license nowadays. They don't just don't think that same way.
So, do you have an adult child still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. How old are they? So far, between the text line and the calls that we've gotten, the record is 42 years old.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hi. It's Anna and Raven. How old is your adult child living at home?
25, but now I'm really depressed because you just said 42 and 39.
Right, because you're thinking in your head at 25, it can't last that much longer, but now we know it can actually last forever.
20 more years.
Sad and pathetic.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Adult child still living at home. How old are they?
43.
43 is the new record.
43, but it's my brother-in-law, but I have to
say that it's actually a good thing because he's now taking care of his elderly parents when they need him the most.
Well, I feel like by default, if you're still living at home and you're in your 40s, it is on you. You got to help mommy and daddy out at that point.
And a lot of times that's how it happens. A lot of times you're saying to yourself, how are we going to pay for caretakers? And then the decision is made that somebody will move back in. Conveniently, that's the same time your marriage falls apart.
Or some people just never leave, Raven. Yes. That's the other situation.
That is the situation with some.
He's never left. He's lived there his whole life.
Yep.
His mom still does his laundry, good. Makes his lunch every day.
I like to picture his feet hanging off of his small twin bed from when he was in middle school.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Oldest adult child still living at home.
I can't be 42, but my brother is 40. Mm. I'm from an Italian home as well. In Italy, there's actually a phrase meaning mama's boy because the boys stay at home until they're married. She does his laundry.
Yep.
He makes his lunch. He makes like 60 grand a year. He's living the life.
Right. Yep. And then he marries his mother. I mean, that's who they marry, because if the woman is not willing to do all those same type of things, like, it ain't going to work out.
Let me rephrase that. You marry somebody exactly like your mother, not your actual mother. There's laws against
that. Yes,
right. Yeah, I was about to say, that's getting a little creepy. But at the same time, she also has to meet my mother's approval. She oversees it. So good luck with him getting any chick in that house.
Right, seriously.
I mean, who wants to date that? Really?
For real? Yeah.
Who wants to date that type of stuff?
He's handsome, though. That's the thing.
I mean, he better be devilishly handsome.
Is he a player, though? Does he bring girls home?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
He's only had one girlfriend that we've ever met, ever.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for the call.
He dates, but, I mean, 42. Oof, he'll get there. I guarantee he'll get there.
Yeah. Yes, she has no hope in her brother.
Right.
Anna and Raven.
She's been defeated.
Yes, hi.
How old is your adult child still living at home?
My brother. 44, still lives at home with my mom.
That's the new record.
It is the new record, 44. And does he have a reason 44. For it, or he just never left?
He just never left.
Does he ever feel funny about it, or he's like, hey, this is what I do?
At 44, there's got to be no shame.
Yeah, there is no shame. He just pays for my mother. It's free. Why should he leave?
I asked my husband, I asked my parents if my husband and I could move back in with them to save money.
They said no.
They said no.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Let's check the text line, Raven. If you're a stranger and you start telling me your life story when I'm in the supermarket, that's all I need to know about you.
It's one of my favorite commercials, actually. I don't know if it's Geico or Progressive, where they say, you know, they're going to stop you from being your parents. Mm. And the third example is they go to the hardware store as, like, you know, things not to do. And he starts, if you're looking for a brush, this is the brush you want to go ahead and clean your lawnmower.
Yep.
And he walks over and he goes, did he ask you for advice? He says, no. He says, let's go. Move along. Move along. That's an old guy thing. That's what we do.
Also, no, I can one up that when the person starts talking to you in the elevator and you're the only two people in the elevator.
You can't go. Captive audience.
And it's like, it always starts with a sigh. So how's your day going, ma'am? It's like I look over my shoulder. Fine, thank you. How's yours? And then there they go.
And the
went
awkwardness.
Went to visit my grandson today. Man, he is growing up so fast. Like, here we go.
The awkwardness is, too, is like, how much can you really talk in the span of two floors? I'm going two floors. Like, any conversation we start, I'm immediately going to jump out of.
There's always that one person, though, that can just strike up a conversation with anybody at the most awkward times.
Sure.
And you're like, wow, you're that guy. I get it.
Yeah, that's your husband.
Okay, another text. My husband is definitely that guy. All I need to know about you, if you don't turn your brights off when you come up and you're passing another car, that's all I need to know about you. They continue, each morning on my way to work, I take a 2-lane dark road. And as soon as I see a car coming towards me, I switch off my brights. Nobody ever does the same. I almost have to come to a complete stop because I'm blinded by their brights.
Yeah. I mean, when you see taillights or headlights, it's time to turn them off.
Well, that's the rule. High beams. The high beams are the problem.
Right.
When I see high beams,
yes, no, you shouldn't turn your regular lights off. No.
No, right. But it's when they flash at me, I still immediately slam my brakes because I assume there's a cop that's waiting that's going to be pulling me over.
Courteous.
Or, of course, the thing that we've talked about several times.
Yes, Anna believes.
Yeah. If somebody flashes their highlights at me, their brights, or I. Like,
and you flash them back.
It's a gang.
It's a gang initiation.
And they're going to follow me.
And they're going to run you off the road. Right. And all these terrible. terrible things.
Yeah, you got to be really conscious of what you do with your brights because people misinterpret it all the time.
I feel like that happened with like the greasers and the jocks like in the 50s. And since then, that's just been a myth.
No. That's real. If somebody flashes your high beams, like you, they could be in a gang. It's true.
It's a gang.
Yeah.
If you leave your car at the pump when you're at like a four pump gas station, while you go inside, have a conversation with the cashier, buy lotto tickets, leisurely shop, scratch your lotto tickets, and then talk with them for another 15 minutes before you leave. That's all I need to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand some of you never want to go home. I get it. All right? But this is not, and if this is your place to lounge, just move your vehicle over. And there is always that guy that's in there just hanging around at the convenience store.
It's always at the lottery.
Scratching tickets and just always, you know, hanging around. He's like an uncle that they didn't ask for, but just move your car.
It's so funny. You're right. It's just like they treat it like a parking spot.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Do you have your wallet out?
I have it right here. Would you like it?
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. Open your wallet. I got my wallet too.
Okay. I don't really open it. Mine's not a zip one. Mine's just, it's a pouch one.
How much cash do you have on you right now?
Really?
Yeah, let's see. I have 15. I have $16.
Just my wallet.
Just
right?
Your wallet.
Because I do have my laptop bag here too.
You keep money in your laptop bag?
I do today. 20.
Well, it's because you're going to buy a car normally.
I mean, it's been in there for like a week and a half. Oh, wait a minute. Got a 10 over here that's mixed in with the ones.
What?
That's like winning the lotto right there. Okay, wait a minute. It says 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 10, 20,
wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 125.
Okay, I have $16. And to me, having $16 is actually a lot because I usually have zero cash in my wallet.
Yeah, nobody carries cash anymore.
Well, that's the whole thing. Do you think we're on our way to a cashless economy? A new poll showed that 16% of people still pay with cash. Only 16% of people. And they always have it on them. 37% of people say they rarely ever have cash on them and they pay with a card. Which I thought was interesting because when I went to a restaurant the other day, it said right there on the disposable menu now, it says, please do not pay with cash, cards only because of, you know, COVID.
It's funny, though, because you go to certain restaurants and all they want right now is cash because obviously they want to kind of hide that income there because been a rough year, right?
Yeah,
so everybody wants, you know, more disposable stuff. I find that I spend more if I have cash typically. It's funny because I've probably been carrying around that cash in my wallet for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got an envelope with a lot of money in my laptop bag right now.
Because you're going to buy a car. But normally you wouldn't have that.
It's been in there for like a week, week and a half.
Why would you do that? Somebody's going to steal it from you.
It's the place where I remember that I have things. So
it's
if
weird.
I put things in other places, unless it's the safe, sometimes the stuff I put in the safe, even I forget that it's in the safe.
Yeah. But in general, people don't carry cash like they used to. To me, I never have cash. To have that $16 in there, I'm actually surprised. Like, I don't even know how that got in there. It's like a gift.
I forgot my wallet the other day, and I had to pay by my cell phone, which doing that's like a whole thing with me. I'm the guy who takes 20 minutes at the register because I've never done it before, and even after it works, I don't know if I did it correctly.
Right, it's true. but there's a way that kids, I have found, can make money off their parents never having cash on them.
Okay.
Because my daughter started doing this, and I realized it, and I had a conversation with her about it.
Hayden, why do you always have so much cash in your room?
Because you never have cash. And then when you need cash, I give you cash. And then you have to give me a little extra money because you borrowed cash and I need my interest.
What is your interest rate?
If you're going to be long, I do $1 a day. And on a normal basis, you take 2 weeks to give me cash back.
Wow.
That's an extra $14 in the bank.
It's true.
Wow. She's a loan shark.
All the time. Like if I'm going to get a manicure, you know, and I don't want it, like my bank is out of the way and it's, you want to have cash, I'd be like, Hayden, can I borrow $20? And she just runs right upstairs.
Why don't you just tip on the card though?
You're not supposed to.
So you tip with cash to make sure that that person's actually getting it and it's not all going to the evil owner?
It says in the handwriting on the thing, on the wall, it says tips and cash only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting that we are kind of headed towards this cashless economy where they've made it so easy to pay with our phone and with our cards. And is cash going to become obsolete?
Yeah, it's possible. I was watching Fargo just came back. It's the only new television that you can see out there. And Chris Rock's character proposes a credit or debit card to a bank and they laugh him out of the place because it's the 50s. They laugh him out of there. But I said to my wife when that happened, I said, can you imagine the first person that proposed cashless economy? It's weird.
Right, but that's where we're going. Sometimes the expensive gas is a lot more expensive than the regular gas.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I had to get rid of a car because it only ran on premium before.
This is a world that I didn't know anything about. It's Anna and Raven. I finally got my new car. It was, you know, my lease was up. I had to get something new.
Right.
And for the first time, it says a premium gas only. And I looked at that. I was like, come on.
You're lying.
Just kidding.
No, yeah. You don't really need that. Look at how pretty you are. Right. You don't need this.
It's like drinking a Diet Coke versus water. Sure, the water's better, but a Diet Coke will do just fine.
It's not really the same.
I talked to one of my girlfriends, and she has a car that says premium only, and she puts regular in it, and she says it runs fine. It gets from point A to point B. It's all right.
Well, I mean, it will actually physically run down the road. It might not last as long. I had a sports car before. That thing was supposed to run on premium all the time. If you put regular in it, you could definitely feel and hear a difference. I had to get rid of the car because that's when gas was like $4.80 for a gallon.
Right.
It was miserable.
It's a lot of money when you look at the difference between regular and premium, and it's going to be really hard for me to do that, and that's why I'm like, well, can I make a compromise? How about if I just pick the one in the middle? Is that a good?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, it's better.
Yeah.
It's better than going all the way low.
Does anybody know anything about this? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Are you a car person?
I actually run a dealership.
Perfect. When you have someone that it says, okay, we recommend you put the premium gas, do you really need to do that, or is it just a recommendation, a suggestion?
No, you really need to do it.
See, Anna pauses and waits because she feels like either you're lying to her or that she wants a better answer. She wants a workaround is what she wants. Some way where she won't actually have to put premium in it.
It actually hurts the engine because when they say premium required, the engine runs differently. And if you put cheap gas in it, it returns the timing and gives you less power, so it doesn't hurt the motor.
But why do some cars only need regular and some cars need better ones? Because their engines...
Some cars are designed to be crappy. Sure.
Really?
He's not wrong. I drive a car that if you put super in it, it would actually drive worse. It's designed to run on cheap gas, and then there's cars with higher octane because they have more power.
Huh.
Which isn't a problem when everything's 250, but when it gets up there like 460 or so,
Yeah.
That's when you start deciding, is it going to be heat this month or is it going to be regular? Am I running on regular or am I getting my grandmother's medication? What am I doing?
Do you agree with him? I just want to hear all my options.
Yeah, so if you have six people that say he's lying, you'll steep run on cheap gas.
1-800-330-9999. Do you always put that expensive gas in? Finally picked up my new car this past Monday, and when they were handing me the keys, the sales lady says to me, just FYI, you got to use premium gas. And I winked at her. I'm like,
Like she was lying to you.
I was like, no, what are you talking about?
Like a high five. Like, right? They'll say anything. Of course I'm 21.
Sure.
Let me get that nickel beer on Thursday night at college. Right.
It's Anna and Raven. Is that true? When you go to a gas station and it says suggested premium, are you really putting that expensive stuff in? Or are you just putting the regular, like cheaper stuff? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Well, I have a Honda Civic 2016 and I use cheap gas. The thing is, it depends on the octane. So if you put like regular, it's 87. The gas goes from 87 to 93. It's 87 regular, 89 mid, 91S premium, and 93 super.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a lot of numbers.
You got so many levels now. You got so many levels you got to choose, Anna.
Usually when I go, my biggest decision is like, don't mess up and put the diesel in. Don't mess up and put the diesel
they
in.
They actually make the nozzle a different size, so you can't physically do that.
Oh, good, because I've been worried about that for years.
I'm glad that you've had anxiety about it all this time, though.
I'm like, it looks just like the other ones.
If you don't want to go premium, you can go mid-grade, which is like 89.
It's kind of like figuring out who you're going to date. Is it going to be the super hot one? That's super. Or premium, which is like, you know, still really attractive, but with a cold sore. Or is it going to be the fugly one?
No, it's going to be the old reliable middle. That's what I don't understand. And on Raven, what do you do? Do you put the expensive gas in?
No, I do not put the expensive gas in. I can tell you the reasoning behind the expensive gas is because some cars have a higher compression ratio and certain vehicles are turbocharged, which require a different octane.
so it doesn't pre-detonate in your motor. And that's the technical answer.
I mean, that seems, see, he said he's I didn't have to.
He's like a gas scientist.
Yeah, after he said, no, you don't have to, I stopped listening. And I was like, sold.
No, that's not what, I mean, well, that's not really the gist of what he said.
Okay.
But okay. And Ann Raven, you use premium or regular?
Yeah, I'm sorry, we're getting a lot of background noise. I'm sorry.
Oh, because I'm driving, sorry. I put premium gas in my car every day, but that's because it's a muscle car. It's a 2012 Mustang, so.
Right, that's what we can hear right now. You can hear your Flowmasters right now as you drive down the road. Thank you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you use the premium gas or do you stick with regular?
You know, every time I open up that gas cap, it tells me to put premium in. I have put nothing but regular for the entire life of the car.
Oh, you are a terrible person.
Does it work just fine? Like, does anything happen?
It works fine. I don't see a difference.
Mm.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you put, like, the recommended gas in your tank?
To get, like, the highest out of your car, you do have to use the premium gas. It's for peak performance of your vehicle. So, yeah, I do.
But your car won't explode if you don't use the other one, right?
Not unless you ask it to operate at peak performance. If you ask it to operate at its peak, Anna Zapp, it's going to explode.
It probably won't explode, but just to be able to get the best out of your vehicle, I mean that's like the best of it out of anything. You just follow the directions, best optimal performance.
If you want Sylvester Stallone to be Rocky, like Rocky in part like 3 and 4, where he's just shredded Rocky, you got to run on 93. If you're okay with flabby Rocky, pale Rocky, looks like he might need a sandwich Rocky, you know, part 1 and 2, or worse than that, old Rocky, where he looks like he'd kind of fall over by accident, then you can run on 87.
Okay.
Well, that's up to you. But then someday, Rocky's walking down the sidewalk, and he grabs his chest, and he bowls over, and he's had a heart attack now, and he's not going to make it, and everybody's crying.
I don't even know how we got here.
Because you ran it on 87 too long.
I just want to get to point A to point B safely.
Rocky just grabbed his chest.
Well, we're going to have an automotive and mechanical engineer expert, Sean Shide. We'll see what he has to say coming up next with Anna and Raven. For the first time ever, I have a new car that says premium gas only, and I was like, come on, pretend.
You've arrived now. You're big, man. Car needs some premium.
That's fake news, right? It's all the same. It's Anna and Raven. Automotive and mechanical engineering expert, Sean Shide. Is that real?
Very real. If you put anything else, you're going to have a lot of problems.
Anna doesn't seem to believe that there's a difference between premium and regular gasoline when it comes to small motors in cars.
Oh, no. Absolutely. This is very crucial. You have to go with what the manufacturers recommend. If you don't, you have severe engine problems. Sometimes even, I've seen some engines, you have meltdown. It could cause a fire.
Wow.
So,
I thought they were just doing that to make you pay more money for the more expensive gas.
Sell some gas, ramp it up.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
No, it's all from knocking. When the piston is trying to compress that mixture, lower octane gasoline detonates before the piston gets completely up there. You have combustion, you have explosion inside the cylinder before the piston is all the way to the top. This is called premature ignition. The piston trying to come up, and then you have combustion explosion that trying to push the piston down. There's two opposing forces here involved. A lot of stresses on the bearings, the moving parts. Then you hear knocking, pinging. This pinging and knocking is indicative of engine under stress. So eventually, if you keep doing that, you're going to have a lot of damage to the bearings and moving parts of the internal engine.
All right. Well, I'm not sure, Sean, if your job was to scare me straight today.
Right.
But that's what you did. Through the explosions that could happen if I don't use the
premature,
correct gas.
Premature at the start of a sentence is never good.
Never good.
Never good. Right.
All right.
Nobody's
so,
happy with that result.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So immediately she's now going to switch back to the special at least.
I will pay
and probably
the special
premium
gas. Yes. All right, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time today. We really do appreciate it.
No problem.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not a prince.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the workday.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
Need life advice? You could always email my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden, hayden@annaandraven.com. She's always got something to say, even though she has no real qualifications to give advice.
I mean, who really needs a doctor anyways?
Mm-hmm.
Ready for today's email?
Yup.
Hayden, I'm 13 years old, and I'm currently in hybrid learning. The problem is I'm having a hard time with my math homework, and my mom keeps trying to help me, but it's clear that she doesn't know what she's doing, and I get really aggravated when she tries to help. How do I handle this? And it's signed Cassidy. I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, I understand this very well.
What?
You can't do math.
Yeah, but I admit I don't do math. I don't try to help you. I just say wait till daddy gets home or go to dad.
Last time you tried helping me do math, I got 5 questions wrong. Wow. Out of 10.
Right, but I don't understand what her question is.
Well, she wants help because she can't solve the problems because she's confused, but her mom can't help her. We need our parents to help us.
Okay, so what should she do? She should tell her mom to stop trying to help her do her math homework?
No, she should tell her mom to Google search it and figure it out. Because sometimes when I need help on my homework, you just go Google search it.
Right, but I don't necessarily know if that's what you're supposed to do. I just think maybe all parents do that. I'm not really sure.
Well, you do, so she should too.
All right, so tell your mom, Google search it so you can teach yourself how to do it, and then you can teach me. And what else?
You should have a heart-to-heart moment with your mom saying, you know, Mom, you have so many great qualities, and I love you so much, but math is not your strength.
I mean, that's somewhat hurtful, but I guess if I was a mother and my child said that to me, I would understand.
Just like me and you.
What?
Wow.
Am I the only one failing at
She's
home?
Getting so slick at this. She's realizing that if she tells you bad news publicly like that, then There's really nothing you can say. You have to handle it as the best mom that you could be.
Which is just to basically
take the defeat.
I don't want to be dramatic, Raven, but math might kill me.
I mean,
sixth grade math might kill me this year.
5 out of 10 answers wrong?
It's so hard.
How long did you spend trying to straighten it out with her?
I find myself saying things like, you're never going to need to know how to multiply fractions.
It's
true.
Listen, math is important.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
She has to be able to calculate percentages for tips. And then that's kind of really it.
So you've basically told her that either she's going to be a waitress or she needs to make sure that she tips well when she goes out?
I just, it's really hard. And I don't think it's fair that parents have all this, like, responsibility right now. I know that we all have to do this together, but some of us are just not that smart.
Feels like maybe somebody else here needs a therapist. Yeah. Somebody they can ask some questions.
Right.
If you need advice, email me, hayden@annaandraven.com. That's hayden@annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their problem is, and then you decide who's right. Brent and Michelle. Michelle, let's start with you. What's going on?
We rent a house with another couple for 3 years now, and it's a separate apartment that our roommates live in. However, my parents have offered to move in with us to help with our toddler so that we don't have to pay for daycare. And I want to ask this other couple to leave since we found the home 3 years ago. Brent says that we can't kick them out, but they've never been on the lease. And this is our priority, to have our baby taken care of. So I think that they should leave. They've never legally been on the lease, so technically we could have them leave.
And do you have a good relationship with them? I mean, they've been living in, like, you know, the second area for 3 years. Like, aren't they your friends?
Yeah, I mean, we're not that close. We do have a good relationship with them. I realize that this might seem a not very nice thing to do, but We need childcare for our toddler, and it's too expensive. It doesn't even make sense for me to pay for that and then go to work. It's like, then we break even, and I want someone I trust taking care of him.
I get it.
I mean, all those things make sense. It's just still mean. It still feels wrong. It feels like dirty pool. Are you considering any incentive?
Well, I hadn't really thought about that. I guess we could negotiate. I'm going to give them some notice, you know, more than 30 days. I just, you know, this is really what I want.
Brent, I see her side, as harsh as it sounds. If you have free, her parents are going to come live with you guys and you have an au pair apartment.
Right, it's a necessity, basically.
Right. Why would you be against this?
First of all, like, these are our friends that are, you know, that are living here. And they may not be, like, the closest friends that we have. But, like, we've been living with them for a long time. And, like, I really feel like that friendship is going to be over. How are we going to just tell them, hey, we're kicking you out, and that's that. Like, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me.
You know, Brent, people may agree with you. You made a decision 3 years ago that the four of you would share this house. Now, it's just your names on the lease, but it doesn't change the fact that you guys have split the rent equally and that you've all both contributed your part. And to say get out doesn't seem very fair. But they may see Michelle's side, too. Things change, and it is your names on the lease. And if her family can move in and help alleviate the costs of daycare, maybe that's just what's right, and your friends will have to understand that. Do you both agree to listen what our audience has to say?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Great. Caller text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
3 years ago, Brent and Michelle signed a lease on a multifamily, and they had their friends move in into the apartment. Now, here's the issue. Everything has been fine these last 3 years, but now they have a toddler, and Michelle's parents have offered to come live with them in that other apartment to take care of the toddler. So she's ready to kind of boot her friends out. But her husband, Brent, says you can't do that.
Brent thinks that the relationship is important. It's not right for them to do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, truly, what are you going to do? You can't live as friends your entire life. Friends, the show came to an end. Why? Because people get older. They grow up and then they go off and they do other things. One of those things happens to be starting a family. Things change, right?
Right, but they've been paying their rent every month for 3 years.
Bye.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I'm with the husband's side, but I have a suggestion. If they tell the renters, listen, my parents want to help, we need the help, we're either going to have to move and find a place that we can live with my parents and give you the lease, or would it be easier for you guys to move out?
Right. The only thing about that is that they don't really want to move out. So now you got to hope they're not going to call your bluff, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven. 3 years ago, Brent and Michelle signed a lease for a multifamily house, and they had their friends move in the apartment. Everything has been great. But now that they have a toddler, Michelle's parents have offered to move into that apartment to help them save on daycare costs.
Brett doesn't think that they can do that to them. He feels like it's not only rude, but it's going to end their friendship. You know, while they're not on the lease, they still have had a verbal agreement. But, I mean, at the end of the day, don't you just have to do what you have to do?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. This is no-brainer. You have to choose the friend's well-being or the child's well-being. Let's talk about the child. He's a little baby. He needs someone, family, to care for him, to drop him off every day to daycare, to pack the food for the child for the whole day, where he can stay at home, get his naps, be with the grandparents, have bonding. Got to think about your child, not about the friend's couple.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I honestly think that they should have had this consideration before they got pregnant. When they got pregnant, they didn't know that they would need child care. And by the way, they've been living there for 3 years. Because their name is not on the lease doesn't mean that you could just ask them to leave.
Well, that's
true. That means
that
they have bills coming there. That means that they are, you know, they're part of that household. You just can't ask them to leave. You will have to evict them.
That's true, right. If they resist, right. That's true.
Yeah, it becomes ugly.
Right. Thank you for the call.
And on Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the wife's side for several reasons. Firstly, rental agreements come and go. I mean, that's just part of renting. So people who are in a rental agreement have to realize that they can be given 30 days notice, and that's very reasonable of her. Secondly, the friendship's going to fall apart anyhow if she has to keep them living there and her child isn't being taken care of by her parents. So it's not going to work out anyhow. And at the end of the day, you've got to do what's right for your child and your family.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Michelle, our audience agreed with you. It sounds harsh, but if it's what's best for your family, then you're going to have to do that. And as long as you give them enough notice, it's understandable.
That's right. Thank you. I knew they'd see it my way.
Brian, you cool with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess what it comes down to, we have bills to pay, and this is going to help us out, you know.
Listen, I think you're going to feel bad when you tell them, and you're going to feel bad until they move out. And then the minute they're gone, you're going to feel fine, because then you're going to have her parents there and this situation is going to be resolved. You're going to know that you made the only decision that was really possible to make. This is the best decision for your family, period.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Bye, Felicia.
All right. You got a problem, too. Send an email, couplescourt at annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Michael.
Hey, Michael, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Mike.
All right. We've got $600 in the jackpot today for you, and all you have to do is answer more pop culture questions right than Raven. I give you about 3 seconds for each one, but here's the thing. You got to beat him. You can't tie him. Ready to play, Michael?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Number one, Leonardo DiCaprio will narrate a documentary series about voting rights ahead of the upcoming election. What 2013 film directed by Martin Scorsese did DiCaprio narrate and star in as a character who was a stockbroker?
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Number two, according to a new study, the Spinosaurus, that terrifying dinosaur that played the antagonist in Jurassic Park 3, was actually a river monster. Who directed the original Jurassic Park?
Steven Spielberg.
Number three, today is National Hair Day. What color is Marge Simpson's hair?
Blue.
Number four, the highest earning celebrity brand is topped by Dr. Dre with $1.5 billion in sales. What's the name of his electronics company?
Beats.
And number five, for the first time, one of the Masked Singers quit and just took off his mask after his performance because he said it was just too hot. I'm not going to say who it was because then I'm going to get hate emails about it, but it was the Gremlin. Who voiced Gizmo in the original Gremlins?
Howie Mandel.
I think you got him, Michael. Let me bring him in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
Michael got all five. Boom.
Come on.
Just like that, including one that I didn't think anybody knew. Okay, ready?
Let's go.
Number one, Leonardo DiCaprio will narrate a documentary series about voting rights ahead of the upcoming election.
Okay.
What 2013 film directed by Martin Scorsese did DiCaprio narrate and star as a character who was a stockbroker?
The Wolf of Wall Street, of course.
Yes. Number two, according to a new study, the Spinosaurus, the terrifying dinosaur that played the antagonist in Jurassic Park 3, was actually a river monster.
Okay.
Who directed the original Jurassic Park?
Steven Spielberg.
Correct. Number three, today is National Hair Day. What color is Marge Simpson's hair?
Marge's hair is blue.
Yes. You can't get any wrong, otherwise the $600 goes to Michael.
Yeah, I understand what 5 for 5 means.
Number four, the highest earning celebrity brand is topped by Dr. Dre with $1.5 billion in sales. Right. What's the name of his electronics company?
He owns Beats.
Yep. And number five.
Yes.
For the first time, one of the Masked Singers quit and just took off his mask after his performance because they said it was too hot.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say who it is because I'm going to get all those hate emails that say I spoiled it for everyone. But all it right. was the Gremlin. Who voiced Gizmo in the original Gremlins?
One of the judges, Howie Mandel.
Oh.
Come on.
I didn't think you would know that.
You didn't think I knew that?
No.
All right. Well, I mean, it's tricky. It's not something that you would think of normally, but he's just weird enough for you to still kind of see it in his face.
Oh, Michael, please call back and challenge him again. You did so great. I'll hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, man. Enjoy that shirt.
Awesome. Thank you. Howie is actually a judge on America's Got Talent,
yeah.
Raven.
Oh, I was about to say, you're wrong.
I thought he moved over to that. I got to be honest. I did.
This is Michael, and I can't be Raven.
But you will next time, Michael.
That's a great game, man. I'm sorry. You'll be back.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, I thought for sure. Another $100 in the jackpot. That means tomorrow morning, $700. I'll give you the cheat sheet. The first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. That's coming up at noon and 5:30. Oh!
The truth is, I don't watch either of those shows. Sorry, Howie.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.